We have been talking already about like hope. We have been talking about peace. We have been talking about love that can only be found in Jesus. And I don't know about you, as we, you know, unwrap the package that we have in the person of Jesus, hope, peace, and love, it's something that we all need so very much, right? So very much. And today, just one more ingredient to this package that we would like to talk about is joy. Joy. So not only we have hope, not only we have peace, not only we have love, but in this season, we are so glad for the fact that we can also have joy. And let's pray and let's ask God to speak to us through His Word, and I believe His Spirit that is here. Let's do that. Let's ask Him. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have today. Thank you for your Word who is alive. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. And Father, as we open up God's Word, we ask for the Holy Spirit to inspire your word. We ask you to speak to us. Father, we all came here. Yes, we are in the season of Christmas, but we all came here experiencing the season of life that we are in. And Lord, you are here with us, and you are here to speak to us in the season that we are in, with the circumstances around us the way that it is. You are here to encourage us. You are here to speak to us. You are here to comfort us. The event with the coming of Jesus, it's a ever-living event that we are so thankful. We are so thankful that our Savior, Jesus Christ, came into this world, and our lives have been transformed, and we have a purpose, and we are the best that we can with the help of the Holy Spirit and God's Word. We are following Jesus. And Father, today as we gather together, we wanted to start by saying thank you, thank you, thank you for everything that you have done and everything that you are, and what we are in you, and how our lives have been also transformed, and we have experienced a purpose and meaning in life that we don't have without Jesus. So thank you, Lord, and bless this time today. We ask you in Jesus' name, amen and amen. So I really believe that you know, when the angels, right, when they were like proclaiming the good news of Christmas in Luke chapter 2, they proclaimed that the good news would cause great joy for all the people. That's what we read in Luke chapter 2. It says this, but the angels said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and laying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of a heavenly host appear with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Luke 2, 11 to 14. I love the fact that Jesus came to give us, and to give, as a matter of fact, to all the people that will give him a chance to reveal himself to. He came to give us joy, joy. On that day, as we read the story of Christmas, the shepherds on the field on that day, they heard this chorus, right? Very famous, that this chorus of praise that we have sang like ever since. We all know, joy to the world, because the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. Joy to the world. Why? Because the Lord has come. See, it's a past event that not only had an amazing impact in the past, but it had an impact in our lives when we met Jesus, and it will still have an impact forever and ever and ever, right? Forever, for eternity. You know, Jesus Christ who came, he will be, you know, forever and ever more. And that is so special. And this was so true for all those that were involved, you know, when the baby Jesus came. When Jesus came into this world, you know, Mary, starting with her, she was the first one that after the encounter with the angel, after hearing the good news of great joy that would start with her, Mary, this is what we hear from her. She wrote it in Luke. It was written in Luke 1:46 to 47. Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." My spirit, Mary said, is already rejoicing. I don't understand what's happening. Can you imagine, you know, that teenage girl? But she said, you know, my spirit, it's rejoicing with the news that I just heard. It was definitely a mix of emotions for Mary specifically, right? But one thing that was part of that mix of emotions, she said, you know, I am rejoicing in my spirit. Something is happening inside of me that I cannot contain. You know, it's like bursting through me. It's this joy that has come through the news of my Savior. Also, as part of those in that first Christmas, in the Gospel of Matthew, we read that the wise men rejoice with exceedingly great joy when they saw the rising star. That's Matthew 2:10. Not only they rejoice, but they rejoice with exceedingly great joy in their hearts because of the Savior. We also hear, you know, that even a baby in the womb of Elizabeth, we read that in Luke 1:44, that baby, you know, when he heard of the coming of Mary and who Mary was bringing with, it says in Luke 1:44, "For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the baby leaped for joy in my womb." That's what Jesus caused to those people that were involved in that first Christmas. Now, we know that, you know, that baby that was born in Bethlehem, he went to the cross, he died in our place, he took upon himself all of our sins, he was buried, he was resurrected on the third day, and then he appeared to all his disciples, who were many of them scared, many of them, they wanted to just go back to their own, like, business. But he appeared to them, and after they spent time with Jesus, it is said in Scripture that, you know, Jesus, he appeared to the disciples, and after he left them, ascending into heaven, in promising them to return, we read here in Luke 24:52 that those disciples, they worshiped him and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. With great joy. It was, you know, this feeling, this emotion inside of them that they could not content. You know, a promise that was made many years ago came to pass. And this was the same disciples that later on Jesus commanded them to go into all the world and to tell the nations, tell everybody about the offering in Jesus Christ of this never-ending joy that comes with the presence and the person of Jesus Christ. Never-ending joy. Now, you know, as we talk about joy, even today as we were talking in our circle here, you know, Christmas can be a tough season for some people. You know, we just heard from Tom that lost his mom, right? So many other people could have, like, experienced, like, you know, tragedy and you know, bad things happen to people during this season as well. And then every year, you know, it is a time where they are reminded of something that happened to them. But the thing that it's amazing about joy is that joy, it's different than just like happiness. Joy, it's a gift that we unwrapped in the person of Jesus that it's far, far more important and special than just like happiness. You know, Jesus told us in John 15:11, he said, you know, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy would be made full. My joy in you and your joy will be full. It's interesting because, you know, Jesus came to bring us joy, but he never really promised us necessarily happiness, right? He didn't come to bring us happiness, even though, you know, we experience happiness. But happiness, it's usually associated with, like, satisfaction, well-being, pleasure in this world. It's a, you know, a positive emotion, which can include joy for sure. But it seems to me that happiness, it's more associated with earthly things, right? Happiness, it's associated with the circumstances around us, the situation around us. But joy is associated with a person. Joy, it's associated with a sense of purpose in our lives. And I love, you know, here are some things that joy is associated with. The first one, joy is associated with God's presence. I love this Psalms. Psalm 16:11, it says, in your presence, O Lord, there is fullness of joy. Joy in the presence of the Lord. And that's why, you know, I don't know about you, but I love during this Christmas season just to sit down by the Christmas tree. And we have this amazing like devotional that you all wrote. And you have all became like famous. This morning, I told my wife, honey, guess who wrote the devotional today? It's you. Here it is. You are famous. It was great, the devotional today that Rachel wrote. But to spend time with the Lord and to learn, you know, how to be in his presence, it's something so important because that fills us with joy. Joy comes in with the presence of the Lord. And for us as Christians, you know, knowing how to assure the presence of God in our lives, it's so important. That's why, you know, simple things as, you know, taking time to spend some time with the Lord, you know, reading one chapter in the Bible, you know, saying, taking a few minutes to say a prayer. You know, what are you doing? You are just stopping in time, you know, to recognize God's presence. And when we do that, one of the things that he promised us, Jesus said that he would give us, when we give him our time, he would fill it with his presence, and his presence would give us joy. Joy. There is an amazing opportunity for each one of us every single day to receive from the Lord a provision of joy by just spending time with him. Because in his presence, there is this provision, there is this fullness of joy. Not necessarily happiness. Things may not be going, you know, the way that we would like them to go, but I still can have joy because that is associated with a person's, in his presence in our lives. Another thing that joy is associated with, and it's heavenly, joy is associated with God's strength. And here's another verse that we probably know so well, Nehemiah 8:10. It says, "Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Joy as a provision of strength in the Lord. Think about that. Don't be afraid. You know, don't be discouraged. Don't be sad. For the joy of the Lord will be your strength. So joy is associated with God's strength. Joy is also associated with deliverance. I love Psalm 71:23. It says, "My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, I whom you have delivered." God, he has delivered us, right? Joy is associated with the fact that, you know, once I was blind, but now I can see. Once I was under the control of my own sin nature, my, you know, this world just guided and led me around. But now I have been delivered. My life has been changed. I have someone leading me. I have someone living inside of me. I have God's word. I have been delivered. And now I have this opportunity to experience true joy. It's not necessarily happiness, but it is joy from God's presence. Joy that becomes a tool to strengthen us because of the person of Jesus Christ. Joy that has delivered us, that has changed our lives. I love Psalms 30, verse 5. It says, "Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning." How many times you have, you know, gone to bed after maybe a tough day, after a tough season, and you lay, you know, you lay in bed, you lay your head in the pillow, and maybe, you know, a little discouraged, but knowing that next day will be a new day. And next day will be, you know, an opportunity for us to have joy as a provision for our lives. Weeping can last through the night, but we have this promise of joy coming in the morning. And then this famous verse in James 1:2, it says this, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it as an opportunity for great joy." And here is another verse, kind of like tough to understand, naturally speaking. Tough to, like, you know, identify with, because we can be like, you know, how in the world, how when trouble comes, I can count as an opportunity for joy. Well, as we have been talking, it's an opportunity to be with Jesus. It's an opportunity to be strengthened by Jesus. It's not necessarily an opportunity for him necessarily to make us happy, happy, happy. But it's an opportunity for him to, you know, to bring comfort to our hearts. for him to sit us down as our Heavenly Father on his lap and tell us everything is going to be all right. I still got a hold of this whole world. You are still in the palm of my hands. Joy that can be experienced even in the toughest of the moments because of the person of Jesus. So what we are talking about, you know, if we think about happiness and joy, just like we make this parallel with peace the other day, you know, happiness, it's based on our circumstances, right? And you know, just for you to know, many counselors, and we all know, we can read in books, and one of the world's deepest desire is to just, like, be happy. How many times we have heard, I just want to be happy, right? And it is. But it's unfortunate that so many times that's not a reality because of the battles that we face in life. But thank be to God that in Jesus Christ, we have this provision of joy, that it is way better than just like happiness. Happiness is based on circumstances. Joy, it's despite the circumstances. Happiness is self, myself, focused. Joy, it's God's focused. Happiness, it's in reaction to an accomplishment of my own or someone with me, an achievement, some material gain. But joy comes from a place of gratitude, comes from a place of praise and confidence. Happiness is a feeling, but joy, it's a state of being. Happiness, it's looking to earthly things, but joy, it's viewing things from a heavenly perspective. Happiness, it's hope in it. Joy, it's full of hope because of the one who is hope, Jesus Christ. So, you know, today, as we talk about happiness, you know, and I wanted to go back to this verse, Nehemiah 8:10, because this is such a great, great promise. The joy of the Lord is a provision for us of power, of strength day by day. You know, and this verse in Nehemiah, if we go back to the context, you know, and God had done something amazing. And God had turned around the sorrow of the people of Israel. You know, the city had been rebuilt. The walls were rebuilt and the gates were like all mended. God, he turned around the sorrow. And then God's word were being like, read to the people. And the first thing that they had, the first emotion that they had was to be very sorrowful for their disobedience, for their sin, for what, you know, not trusting the Lord and being, you know, because of that drag into slavery and being in the desert for so many years, wandering the desert. But God, because of his grace, because of his great love, he turned around their sorrow into joy. And then Nehemiah's Ezra could tell them, hey, this is not a moment for sorrow. This is a moment for joy because God wants to strengthen you in his joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. What a blessing. What a blessing. I love John 16:20. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. Your sorrow will turn into joy. Once again, I was reading long time ago, John Piper, he preached this sermon on... you know, how can we experience like joy in the midst of like sorrow, right? And he was trying to put that in theological term, and he said, this is difficult. It's very difficult. But he said, you know, here is a story, and it happened to me, and I would like to share this story. He said, you know, the best way that I can explain this joy in the midst of sorrow, I was 28 years old and married with a two-year-old. My mother and father were leading a tour in Israel. I got one of those dread phone calls from my brother-in-law, and he said, Johnny, your parents were in a bus accident, and your mother is dead. And we don't know if your dad is going to make it as well. That's all we know. I am sorry. I'll keep you posted. Then he said, you know, I gave my wife the facts. I went to the bedroom. I knelt down and I wept and wept and wept for a long time, as I have never wept before, with uncontrollable sobs. And as I wept, joy kept bursting up out of my depth. How can you explain that, right? And I started saying, thank you, Father, that she was a spectacular mom. Thank you. I said, thank you, Father, that I had her for 28 years of my life. I said, thank you, Father, that in recent years, we had cleared the air from teenage years of ingratitude. Thank you. Thank you, Father, that evidently she did not suffer long, but died quickly. Thank you, Father, that she is happier right now in your presence, in the presence of Jesus, than I am sad. And thank you, Father, that my father is alive. And right now, please save him. He wasn't saved. Please use this situation to save him. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is not a contradiction to say that I was profoundly sorrowful and profoundly joyful at the same time. Why? I believe it's because joy, it's associated with a person. And the person, it's Jesus. It is the person that can come by our side in the worst of the worst situation and encourage us and take us by his hand and say like, yes, I know what you're going through, but I have a provision for you. I didn't come to bring you happiness. I came to bring you something way much better, and that is joy. Jesus, he is in fact the joy that give us strength. Psalms 32 verse 11 says, rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all of you who are upright in the heart, rejoice in the Lord. And then Philippians 3:11 says, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. And then we know Philippians 4:4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, we think like Paul could spare us of the always, right? But the reality is that the Holy Spirit, you know, used Paul to add always, because the Lord knows that joy is a special provision in our life. Even when we are not happy, 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 we can be full of joy by being full with the presence of God with us. So, you know, just like those wise men that we read in the beginning, you know, we can too rejoice with exceedingly joy, not because of ourselves, not because of the circumstances around us, not necessarily because of what tomorrow holds, but because of the one that we are trusting in, the one that we are depend on, the one that holds our very next breath. We can rejoice, and we can again rejoice, and we can always rejoice, because it is in fact a provision from God that we unwrapped, right? We unwrapped. That's why I loved Christmas. It's just this opportunity once again, because, you know, life is so busy and we tend to forget, you know, the things that are most important to us. And that's why, you know, in this Advent, in this season that we stop to think about, we stop to remember, we stop to give our attentions and heart, you know, that the gift that we unwrapped in the person of Jesus, it is what makes Christmas every time the best time of the year. It's not, you know, the parties. It's not the cookies, even though I love the cookies. Did you say cookies again? Yeah. You know, but it is Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. So may this Christmas we be taken by his joy, and may this Christmas we do just like the disciples did to us. May we share with, you know, others also the joy that they can have in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your coming into this world. And thank you this morning specifically for the provision of joy. Father, you know where we sit today. And you know how much, Lord, we need of your joy in our daily basis. And Father, maybe we came here today and maybe Christmas, yes, it's coming. And maybe there is a mix of emotions. In one side, you are excited. But then in the other side, you have circumstances. You have people. You have decisions to make. You have a bank account to deal with. But right now, the one who is calling you is the one that is bigger than all that. And he is reminding you that in him, you have a promise of joy. And that joy will be the strength that you need to just go on. To go home today, to get up the next day. As Rachel wrote in her devotional today, he is the Emmanuel. He is the God who is with us. And in his presence, there is fullness of joy. And in his presence, there is a provision of strength. And in his presence, there is a provision of deliverance, not only from our past sins, but from now, in whatever circumstance or situations that we are in. So, Father, we love you. Father, we are so thankful. Father, we know the true meaning of Christmas. And for that, our hearts rejoice. And we rejoice again. And Father, help us to daily, always rejoice in the one that holds our next breath. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray, and we thank you, and thank you. Amen, amen, and amen.